You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Welcome Kenny back. He's been taking driver's ed, and I'm not going to say anything else about that because I'm already in trouble for it. Would you give Miss Dolores and Jolene a good hand as well? We couldn't do this if we didn't have all four of us up here. We couldn't do it. We might could do it, but it wouldn't be near as much fun. Kenny requested we do a old song by the Reverend Al Wood. Yeah, Reverend Al Wood. You'll probably recognize it. Tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds drive. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. They tell me of a home where my friends have gone. They tell me of that land far away, that the tree of life is in eternal bloom. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a cloudless day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded sky. Smile drives their sorrows away. Oh, they tell me that no tears ever come again. I'm looking forward to that unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a cloudless day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Yes, oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Thank y'all so much. It is fun to be at the rec room, isn't it? Don't you have fun at the rec room? Oh, I love it.
All right. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel. But if you don't have one and would like to turn to the book of Daniel, hold your hand up and we'll see that you get one. Daniel is right after Ezekiel. Ezekiel's right after Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's right after Isaiah. They're all pretty long books, so you'll find your spot in there somewhere. While you're turning to Daniel, let me say this about Daniel. He's an extraordinary person in the Bible. He's such a unique guy that twice in the book of Ezekiel, when God was getting ready to punish Israel, God told Ezekiel this. He said, if you got Noah, Job, and Daniel to pray for him, you couldn't help him. He said, if you had as good a man as Noah, twice he makes that statement, Daniel and Job. Daniel was considered one of the best men in the Bible. If you read about him, you don't find but just one or two things wrong in his entire life. As a teenager, when the Babylonian Empire overthrew Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor, took a bunch of teenagers, the best teenagers from Israel, and took them into Babylon and was going to school them and educate them in Babylon law and Babylon physics and Babylon science and Babylon mathematics and Babylon finance. He wanted the best of the crop. If you've read the book of Daniel, you'll find this right in the opening chapter. And he was feeding all of them a special diet, and Daniel and three of his companions wouldn't eat the diet. Daniel, as a young man, had some convictions about his lifestyle. And remember, he told the guard, he said, give us 10 days here and let us prove to you that our diet is better than yours. And sure enough, it was. Not only that, Daniel was in Beckon when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that none of his men could answer. And Daniel didn't say, I can get that for you. I can handle that for you. He said, God gives the answers to these things. I can't do it, but God can. And God gave him that answer. And Daniel was promoted as a young man to the second in command over the largest world empire that ever existed in history of this world, the Babylonian government. And Daniel was in that position for over 40 years for Nebuchadnezzar and then some of his relatives that followed him. And then one night, in one of Nebuchadnezzar's relatives, they decided they'd just get drunk, live it up, and have a party. And in the process, they decided that they just used the vessels from the temple to drink their booze in. And when they did that, and they are just having a great old time at it, I'm sure they were reminiscing about other parties they'd had. We always do that. And in the process of that, a hand just came out and started writing on the wall. And this was Nebuchadnezzar's great-grandson. And he got extremely scared about that. In fact, it said his knees began to bump one to another. And nobody could tell him what the writing meant on the wall. And somebody, the queen, reminded him of Daniel. He thought he'd gotten so big that he'd not used Daniel. She said, we have a man in the kingdom that years ago did that for your granddaddy. And he called him in and he read the writing on the wall and said, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. In other words, your time is up, goose. And sure enough, that night, while they were partying, the Medes and the Persians had come in underground and overthrew the Babylon government that very night. And the guy who was over the Medes and the Persians chose Daniel to help him. And that's where we're going to start reading in Daniel chapter 6. And it said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now here's an old man in his 80s, and yet his whole life, he said he's had the attitude of a good man. He's had a good attitude about things. Seldom could one man work for one government and then that government overthrow that one and that man still continue on. And Daniel was doing that. He was in favor with both empires. He said, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Old jealousy is going to start rearing its head. Hey. Now, all of these people are high morals, but they still got a lot of sin. And jealousy, notice what they do. It said they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I wonder if they investigated you and I, they'd come up with the same results. Somebody asked a question one time, said, if they arrested you for being a Christian, would they have enough grounds to hold you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? There would be with Daniel. They've come up, they're trying to catch him in something. They're bugging his phone. They got cameras on him. And they can find no occasion. Said they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They couldn't find a thing. And they said, we're not going to find anything. You got that kind of reputation? Boy, I don't. They said, the only place, the only thing we can get him with is his Christianity, his God. That's the only place that he goes against the grain in our nation, our empire. That's the only way we're going to find it. So then these presidents, number six, and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Notice they come in here buttering him up, don't they? One time my middle son came out. He had two little boys. They're about a year apart, and they were just as cute as they'd be because they were my grandchildren. But one of them told Linda she'd fixed him something to eat, and she said to him, said Grams. Said, you are the best cook. The other one looked at her and said, don't pay attention to him. He's just sucking up. Well, here they are. One of them, they go into the king and they start bragging on the king. Flattery will get you a lot of places, see. And so they said that they wanted to establish a royal statute. That's a law to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. We want you just to be God for 30 days. If anybody else prays to any other god of any kind except you for 30 days, then he needs to be thrown in the den of lions. And flattery will cause us to do some stupid things. And we're going to find out that Darius learned this lesson real good here. What they did is they're going to set up a sting operation to get old Daniel. And he said, verse 8, now, O king, establish your decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian government, he could do what he wanted to do. He could make a law and change a law. But the Medes and the Persians when they came together, their constitution was, if you make a law, you cannot change it. It's there. And they knew if they could get the king to make this law, that even if he changed his mind about Daniel, that they still had him. So, verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And they've got him to do it now. Didn't take but just, and by the way, it's just 30 days. It's not like the whole year. It's not like a quarter. It's not like a decade. It's just 30 days that we're going to enforce this little rule. And said, now, O king, verse 8, establish a decree. Sign the writing, and it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, now, he's fully aware of this. When he knew that the writing was signed, he hid out and wouldn't let anybody find him. Just want to say if he's fallen. Notice what it said. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. This is his habit. 3 times a day he knelt, face toward Jerusalem, prayed for God. Now here's a guy that hadn't been home in 60-something years. He's been exiled. They took him away from his home as a teenager. And yet, as his manner was, as he did aforetime, he's kneeling and praying 3 times a day. Do you meet with God once a day? We wouldn't dare just have one meal a day. But we can just put God on the back burner. Daniel didn't. Daniel did what he did in a foreign country or in his own country. He did what he did all the time, and it wasn't one of them things of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He lived that life that he'd been living. Verse 11 said, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Here they come. They've been waiting for this. This is their whole program. They set up this thing, and they blindsided the king with all this flattery, and we're going to get old Daniel. And it said that, verse 12, and then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And here's their question. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah. After 60 years, they're still referring to him as an alien. After 60 years and all that he's contributed to the Babylonian kingdom and then to the Persian kingdom, they're still not accepting him as an equal. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Notice he said he didn't care anything about you, king. He's not recording you. He didn't care anything about your law. We've got him now. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Notice, he realized he's been taken. He's sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He begins, what can I do to get Daniel out? He cares for Daniel. He's seen that he's got trapped. They've talked him into doing this. And now somebody very close to him, a man that he respected more than anybody in his kingdom because he made him number two. More than anybody, they're going to throw him to the lions. I mean, he's going to be executed. It's kind of interesting. But the Babylonian government, evidently their capital punishment was a fiery furnace. And because the three Hebrew children, Daniel's three buddies, wouldn't bow down to him, they just throw them in the fiery furnace, and they came out and couldn't even smell smoke on them. Now then, the capital punishment for the Medes and the Persians must be the lion's den. Both of these are a little bit worse in Texas than the gurney. They're not quite as quick. But he's trying, he labored, this working, till the going down of the sun deliver him. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, as if he didn't know. But they're going to remind him, you can't undo this. We've got you both now, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Before you ever gloat about something, you better make sure about the end of it. Hey, like I told me one time, said, Leland, your mouth's giving checks your body can't cash. You need to be able to handle that. And they're telling the king, we're going to see in a minute that the king didn't forget this little point when they came to him. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, I love this. He said, thy God. Now here's a man hadn't been a believer, but he said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Can people look at you and say, you got a God that can take care of you? Do folks look at you and say, I want what you got? Can people look and even in the times that you don't enjoy, they see joy? My God's people have got to be different. And Daniel was different. He hadn't come in there. He hadn't tried to negotiate anything. I thought about what I was reading this. He never negotiated for a salary. He never tried to hire out to them. He was just, whatever they needed, he was there to do. And there I says, thy God. Verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Can't get out of it. Then the king went to the palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Probably the longest night in his life. Some of you spent some long nights. Maybe at the hospital, maybe at the funeral home, maybe at the emergency room, maybe at booking. Some long nights. That king, he's upset with himself. He's upset with these people. Why would they do me this way? Why are they doing Daniel this way? He's not hurt one of them. Let me tell you why. You think that life is fair? My. And then he said, verse 19, that the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. He can't wait. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Notice this, he calls Daniel, he doesn't know if Daniel's there or not, but evidently he believes he will be. He believed when he said, your God is going to deliver you. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually. Notice, not every weekend, not Sunday, not during Christmas, Easter. He said, whom thou servest continually. Was he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God. He said, is thy God? And Daniel says, my God did it. He has sent his angel. Notice, not a bunch. Just sent one. I don't know how many lions they had, but it only took one angel. And have shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king excited and glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. That's the God of the universe. That's God, the Creator. And the king commanded. And they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom. Before they could hit the bottom of the den, before they could hit the floor, when they threw them down there, they were chewed up. Now, isn't this amazing that Daniel spent a whole night with a bunch of ravishing lions and they didn't take a bite out of him? And now they're eating as fast as they can. People can't get to the floor. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied in you. Now listen to this. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God. Got the king's attention. He saw a living God. God is not... Now, I'm going to give you three things about this. God won't always keep you out of problems. We think, in fact, you may end up having more problems than you can shake a stick at. God's people had problems. Daniel got through in the lion's den. Three Hebrew children went into the furnace. Jesus Christ got crucified. Paul was beaten. Everybody had some problems. God won't always keep you out of trouble. Number two, God won't always keep you from problems. God told me one time, he said, I never had any problems until I got right with the Lord. And he said, everything is turning wrong. Because that helps us turn to him that can change the wrong. Most of us, when things are going good, we pat ourselves on the back and think we did it. When they're going bad, we start praying. I've never seen anybody, when they hit the gusher, I've never seen anybody fall on their knees and start confessing sin. But I've seen that in some bad times. One of my favorite songs, Kathy sings it for me every now and then, the God of the good time. The God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. The God of the good times is the God of the bad times. He is God. God is in control. Now, whether we're going to let him in our life or not, Daniel could have started trying to manipulate by hook and crook. He just let God handle it. God won't always keep you out of trouble. God won't always keep you from problems. But God will always give you the victory. He's never failed. Let me tell you what. I've never met a person that said, Leland, I wished I'd never been saved. I've never met a person that said, I've lived for the Lord 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and I just hate it. I really regret being a Christian. I've never met it. I've met people that regretted, and I'm one of them. I regret some lost years. I regret that. I do not regret one year that was with him. I've never met anybody that will say, I'm sorry I become a Christian. I've met people who said, I'm sorry I've ruined my life. I'm sorry that I've done this. I've hurt a lot of people. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. But I never met anybody who said, boy, I wished I hadn't trusted Christ. That's the dumbest thing I ever did. I wished I hadn't done that. God will always give you the victory. I want you to bow your heads a moment. All we've done tonight is just walk through the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. Talked about an event and a man's life like you and I. Just another person that would bleed if you cut him, would cry if you hurt him, but he had a God that took care of him. Do you have that? Tonight, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you think with me just honestly for a moment and say, Leland, I've never been saved. I'm not a Christian. Would you pray for me? Would you just pray for me? I need prayer. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, Leland, pray for me. I see your hand, sir. Anyone else? You can put it back down. I see yours, son. Put them down. After you, I've recognized you. Anyone else? Said, I need prayer. I need somebody. I need help. Now, let me tell you what the Bible said. I see your hand, sir. Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, shed his blood, rose again for you to go to heaven, he said he'd save you. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. In fact, right now, as we pray, would you stand, head bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet, and we're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, for those that slipped up their hand tonight, I know this, if they want to be saved, you'll save them. You never turned away one person that sincerely came to you. You never have. So, Father, we pray that you do that tonight. And for others that maybe they're your children, but they're a long way from home, Father, help them to get things right with you. Maybe they just need to come down to this altar and pray and confess their sins and apologize to you. We pray they do that in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. On the very first verse, would you come? I've wandered far away from home. Come on. Come to trust Christ. Kathy. Come on. Do what God wants you to do. He died on the cross for you. Can you step out for him? Will you come home? Come on. Charles, in a moment, just sing one more verse. If no one comes, we're going to be through. But if you've done what God wanted you to do, you know that this is not a secret thing. This is not something that's behind closed doors. He died publicly for us. Will you come? If Charles sings one other verse, would you come right now and say, I trust Christ as my Savior?
Precious years, now I'm coming home. I now repent.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting with us tonight. Father, I pray for those that should have come, that you'd give them another chance. Father, help them to have another opportunity to trust you. And I know those opportunities won't go on forever. But Father, would you give them one more? Be with those that should have come. Deal with their heart. Father, don't give them a moment of peace till they come to you for that peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.